The sandwiches came. The waiter dropped them sourly in the middle of the table without a word and whirled away behind the counter. Still, they were very good sandwiches. I don't know what made them better than all the other media noches in town, but they were. Bread crisp on the outside and soft on the inside. Just the right balance of pork and pickle. Cheese melted perfectly. Pure bliss. I took a big bite. Deborah played with the straw in her shake. I swallowed.
Debs, if my deadly logic can't cheer you up, and one of Raylampago's sandwiches can't cheer you up, then it's too late. You're already dead.
She looked at me with her grouper face and took a bite of her sandwich.
It's very good, she said, without expression. See me cheer up?
The poor thing wasn't convinced, which was a terrible blow to my ego. But after all, I had fed her on a traditional Morgan family delight, and I had brought her wonderful news, even if she didn't recognize it as such. If all this had not actually made her smile, well, really, I couldn't be expected to do everything. One other small thing I could do, though, was to feed La Guerta, too. Something not quite as palatable as one of the Raylampago's sandwiches, though delicious in its own way. And so that afternoon, I called on the good detective in her office, a lovely little cubby in the corner of a large room containing half a dozen other little cubbies. Hers, of course, was the most elegant, with several very tasteful photographs of herself with celebrities hanging from the fabric of the partitions. I recognized Gloria Estefan, Madonna, and Jorge Mascanosa. On the desk, on the far side of a jade-green blotter with a leather frame, stood an elegant green onyx pen holder with a quartz clock in the center. La Guerta was on the telephone, speaking rapid-fire Spanish when I came in. She glanced up at me without seeing me and looked away. But after a moment, her eyes came back to me. This time she looked me over thoroughly, frowned, and said, "Okay, okay, talo," which was Cuban for hasta luego. She hung up and continued to look at me. "What have you got for me?" she said finally. "Glad tidings," I told her. "If that means good news, I could use some." I hooked a folding chair with my foot and dragged it into her cubby. "There is no possible doubt," I said, sitting in the folding chair, "that you have the right guy in jail. The murder on old Cutler was committed by a different hand." She just looked at me for a moment. I wondered if it took her that long to process the data and respond. "You can back that up?" she asked me at last. "For sure."